Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Nicholson, McNamara, Smith & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 812-473-7336. From the banks of the Ohio River in Evansville, Indiana, this is Red Blue Hoops with fanatical Red host Chad Payton and obsessive Blue host Evan Beck.
All right, welcome everyone to the award-winning Red Blue Hoops here on your WNIN 88.3. Give us a call at 812-426-7400 or you can tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. I am Evan Beck, your voice for the Kentucky Wildcats this season, and joining me tonight as the voice for the Indiana Hoosiers is Chad Payton. Chad, welcome to tonight's show.
Evan, Walker, Sam, Mr. Berger, good to be here tonight. Does my hair look a little grayer?
I can't. Do you even have any hair left?
Yeah, I think it's gone.
Last
after
night.
After that game. It just ended, I think. It seems like it just ended 20 minutes ago.
So between Kentucky's last game and Indiana's last game, how many minutes of life action have we, or basketball action, have we watched? 6 hours almost.
6 hours of basketball.
And not very good basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, for our listeners out there, Chad and I have been going through some therapy leading up to tonight's show because both of our teams are really struggling. So we're going to try to get through tonight's show the best we can. We'll take your calls, try to pump us up a little bit.
Hey, our off-season training did not help us or discuss how to deal with these teams this year. They're just so confusing.
Extremely
inconsistent. We just expected more,
Wow. So, a really rocky week for the Wildcats, but I think
likewise
a little bit
Hoosiers.
Of a rockier week for the Hoosiers.
Absolutely.
What happened?
Yeah, so we, thank God, last week I had a concert to go to, so I was able to watch Miranda Lambert rock it out.
Gunpowder and Lead.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
She's good, isn't she?
She is. That was a great concert. It kept me from watching. I guess there was a game up in Michigan, but I don't know if IU was there. But all I saw is the final score, 90-60, the third worst loss in Tom Crean's tenure at IU. So in the Big Ten, so that was pretty interesting.
Well, let's reflect back to last week's show. We had the unusual call about your boy Wayne with his dolls, his Tom Crean dolls.
He's the bobblehead whisperer.
Yeah, and he predicted a 4-point win. So you're at the concert, dance with Miranda. And what was the other band?
Old Dominion. That's who I like. Yeah, they're really good. Real good.
So I'm sitting there doing my homework for Red Blue Hoops, watching that Michigan game. Man, you guys, that
awful.
Was a disaster.
It was defensively. And Michigan was hitting everything. But, you know, you go back, you hit everything because the team you're playing is not playing good defense.
Absolutely.
Indiana's hands are down. They're not moving their feet. So 90 points on the board, a 30-point loss. JBJ did get hurt in that game. He played 33 minutes, but took three shots. So after the game, people were like, what is up with that? James Blackmon taking three shots?
Yes.
But it turns out he hurt his knee, and he was saying, and Crean was saying, that he just couldn't go to the basket. So he gutted it out playing, but didn't do anything.
And what's ironic is you guys are notorious, you know, really good three-point shooting team, and Michigan is one of the worst three-point defensive teams in the Big Ten, but you guys couldn't score from the perimeter last week. Unusual.
Yeah, I kind of eating crow a little bit on that prediction as far as saying Michigan was a good matchup for Indiana. Typically they are. They don't defend, just like you were saying. And then Shooter, of course, he came on the show last week and he said we would get exposed by Michigan. I think I fought him on that, but Shooter was right.
Well,
so I
got to
give him
Chad,
credit there.
You know, that was a Hall of Fame phone call we got last week.
It was an all-timer.
And speak of the devil.
No way.
Now on the Red Blue Hoop Hotline, we have Shooter. Shooter, welcome to tonight's show. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, guys. How are you doing this morning or this evening, Billy Gillespie and Mike Davis? I hope
recovering from. We're doing pretty good.
Basketball, because first of all, the Michigan game. What a tragedy, Mr. Davis. What's your opinion? I mean, just lack of heart, no defense. They shoot 50% from the field and still lose by 30.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
I think it was actually 55%.
Yeah, I don't understand it, Mr. Davis. And then, you know, Mr. Gillespie, you guys are going to be fine. You're a young team, a lot of talent. I've watched, unfortunately, don't want to admit this, watched some Kentucky games. And, you know, that Monk is unbelievable.
Fox, he is.
Really runs the show for those guys. But yeah. I think the key for them is really Bam. If he can stay out of foul trouble, play defense and rebound, they're going to be pretty good because, to use our current coaches, excuse, you know, they really are truly all young. I mean, you've got 17 and 18 year olds there, and Briscoe's the old man there, and he's a sophomore. So, but my question's for Mr. Davis, and I'm gonna give him a chance to answer this week. You know, the Michigan game, I couldn't even watch anymore. It just made me vomit. And I was right.
You were right. I'll give you credit.
We got exposed defensively, but you know, the game last night, we got a win. They showed some heart. I thought Newkirk's shot was late. Now, first of all, I wanted to get your opinion on that, Mr. Davis.
That was not late. I watched that thing 100 times. He got it off.
Hey, this is Coach Gillespie here for the Kentucky side. I think it was good.
Yeah. It was as close as you can ever see.
It may have been touching a fiber of skin at the tip of his
finger. I thought it was still on his fingers, guys. I don't know, though. And you know, Penn State is up and coming. They've done a great job recruiting.
Their
freshmen are coming along nicely. But I never thought I would say the day that Penn State and Indiana basketball have a rivalry. That's the state of our program. Chad, what's your feelings on that?
Yeah, it's not real pretty right now. I'm a glass half full guy. So normally I would think that Indiana would not pull that game out. So somehow they did, which is a positive, but it's a shame that we're in battles like that. I will agree with you. There's goofy things that did happen in that game, turning the ball over. A couple times, Crean calls timeout. I remember specifically he called a timeout. We're underneath the basket. We don't get the ball in. It goes out to Thomas Bryant, I think, at half court. He doesn't catch the ball. We turn the ball over. We just do some goofy things. And I'm gonna say turnovers is all on Tom Crean. I'm blaming him for that because we're not being prepared. We're not ready. We don't value the basketball.
I don't know how much time you guys give a guy from the backwoods here, but I wanted to let you know that two really important questions here coming up down the stretch.
All right.
The first one is, Mr. Davis, have you looked at Indiana's upcoming schedule?
I have.
How confident are you that they are going with the injuries and the turnovers and the lack of just pure coaching ability? Do you think that they're going to be able to make the NCAA tournament?
All right, there's a couple caveats here. James Blackman Jr. has to come back healthy, and Thomas Bryant has to play like he's played the last two games. By the way, 54 points and 23 rebounds. He's getting paint touches, which is huge. He's looking better there. And then
so he's not standing out by the 3-point line.
That's right. Mm. Okay. And then Juwan Morgan has to be healthy. And my take is we're gonna win the rest of our home games. So we're gonna beat Purdue. We're gonna beat Northwestern. Oh. We're gonna beat Michigan. All top 50 wins. And then we're gonna take 2 of 3 on the road: Iowa, Ohio State, or Minnesota. We're gonna take 2 of 3, 20-11 in overall, 10-8 in the conference, at large bid, 7 seed right now. Boom.
Sam, has this been recorded?
Mr. Davis, I can see why you're coaching at Texas Southern now.
No kidding, dude. What are you drinking, Chad?
That's pretty good.
Check that water bottle over there.
If you watched last night, Penn State, 3 freshmen, 2 freshman guards, I don't know, and we were recruiting some of those, and they chose not to come to Indiana, mysteriously.
Smart.
But my question to you is, if we can barely beat Penn State at home with better, obviously more talent, okay, but you've got to take the Crean factor in there, which is a negative 15 every game. But if we can barely beat Penn State.
Is that a Vegas? No, we got to call Vegas on that one.
We got to call Vegas. Because I was right about the Michigan game. This team's going to finish 18-13 and 8-10 in the Big Ten record.
Ooh, all right.
Let's mark that down.
I'll hold you to it.
18-13. Yeah,
write that down.
At Minnesota at the barn, we never do well. At Ohio State, Thad Matta does a good job having his team ready for us. Purdue, I don't even want to think about the disaster that's going to be. You know, at Iowa, Peter Jock, Fran McCaffrey. I mean, that
team's terrible.
Places to win.
Yeah, Shooter, by the way, Penn State's currently ranked 91 on the KenPom. So
thank you. Tell Mike Davis that. And then the next thing is, I don't even want to talk
about
it.
Yeah, you got to be a little quicker here. We're running out of airtime.
All right, I apologize. Real quick, I'll get off here. Brian McIntosh from Northwestern. What state's he from?
He's from Indiana.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
How come we haven't had any very good in-state recruits in the class of 17 or 18. We've got to be able to recruit our home state. All I'm saying is...
Yeah, your recruiting's a dumpster fire, like I said last week.
I agree.
Terrible.
I agree.
You know, you got the kid in Southport. You got the Nungie kid at Castle. He's going to Iowa. I mean, you got kids all over the state of Indiana. And, you know, Wilkes, he can't get any of them. So, at the end of the day, guys, thank you. Thank you for your time tonight. I just wanted to tell you, we really appreciate all the coaching contributions you've given to both of the schools. And that being said, Indiana's going to finish 18-13. Finish 8-10 in the Big Ten. They're going to win the Big Ten tournament and be a 16 seed. So, hope you guys have a good night.
See, man, thanks, Shooter, for the call. Wow.
Gracious.
Wow.
He is definitely All American status here at Red Blue Hoops for sure. We're going to stay on the hotline here with Kim Payton. Go ahead, Kim. Uh-oh.
I compare that game last night to a Supreme Pizza. It had everything on it.
Wow. Yeah, I would agree with that.
I mean, a double foul.
There was a double foul. It was just an awful call.
Yeah, I mean, how many times have you seen that?
Well, we had it in the Kentucky game 2 weeks ago.
So, yeah, maybe twice in the past. But it does not happen often, and it's goofy, especially with that play.
Well, I mean, a lot of dribbling off the foot. Call a timeout to set up some kind of play. Throw it out of bounds. I mean, it was ridiculous.
It was.
My husband,
I lost a lot
said,
of hair.
Yeah, he had to go to bed last night, and then he acts like he didn't when he went back there and watched it in private. He said, I'm going to bed. So I went back there, and I said, they won. He said, I know. I've been back here watching.
He's now a closet-watching IU fan.
That's right. No kidding.
There's two of them. I think there's another one I know that's doing that lately. What else do you have for us tonight, Kim?
So, pardon?
I said, what else do you have for us tonight, Kim?
That's all. I just compared it to a Supreme Beast.
That was a good analogy. I have to use that, but yeah, it.
We needed that W after this.
We did. Game. We did. Hey, we did get the W. That's important. It's happier right now to talk about a W than after watching that, and it's a big loss. So
yeah. Hey, say hi to your grandma, Chad. She's listening tonight.
All right, grandma. Hey, how's it going? Hope you're doing well. See ya.
Bye.
Thank you, Kim. Bye. We really appreciate the call and your support of Red Blue Hoops, folks. The phone lines are open 812-426-7400, or you can tweet
at Red Blue Hoops.
So back to the games. You guys got smoked by Michigan, and then what happened on the weekend?
Yeah, so Blackman did not play at Northwestern. Northwestern was 17-4, had a rowdy crowd up there. IU actually got off to a 10-1 start. I'm like, wow, this could be win.
Yep.
But Northwestern flipped the script. I believe was up 12 at halftime, coasted to a 68-55 win. Shooter mentioned Bryant McIntosh, point guard from Northwestern, played a nice game. Pretty good player.
Where's he from in Indiana?
I think it was Greencastle,
okay.
I believe.
All right.
And he made a comment actually after the game, actually. They asked him if Indiana recruited him, and he said, hey, they typically don't recruit the state much. They're more of a national-type recruiting.
Oh,
University. That was kind of a dig, I thought.
That's
surprised me that he said
that. I like that kid a lot.
Yeah, he's a nice player, so... Yeah, that actually put Northwestern in the top 25.
Uh-huh.
So, which they proceeded to get pounded last night at Purdue by 21,
did.
I think.
Yep,
so
they sure
did. That was pretty interesting. Then last night, triple overtime. Shout-outs to Thomas Bryant, 31 points, 11 boards. Josh Newkirk, if you follow me on Twitter, you see early in the game, I'm like, why is Newkirk even playing? And, of course, he scores 27. Of course he does, right?
All Big Ten performance last night.
All Big Ten, All American, so... Robert Johnson had 27 as well. And the freshman, shout out to Devontae Green, 10 points, 10 boards, played well. Confident kid.
Yeah, again, like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I watched that game start to finish. I question myself sometimes, but.
You're a dedicated.
Red Blue Hoops.
Absolutely.
That's right. Berger, man, he lays it down. He says, hey, get your homework done, boys.
Yeah, it's important.
But I can't remember which ending because there's four endings to choose from, regulation and three overtimes. But Robert Johnson gets the ball in the Penn State backcourt, and I think it was the second overtime, intern Walker says, turns and dribbles up court, or attempts to, and this would have sealed the game, but he dribbled at a 45-degree angle, picks his dribble up at the half-court line, and steps on the out-of-bounds line. And this kid's a junior that's played a lot of minutes in games for Crean and makes that mistake. It's like fourth-grade basketball.
That's what I was going to say. I've seen that a couple times, but it was when I was coaching third and fourth grade girls
basketball.
Yeah, it's
mind-boggling. Because when he got the ball, I thought, well, there's the game.
Yeah, go get it fouled, right?
He literally dribbled at a straight line, 45-degree angle, picks his dribble up where you're not ever supposed to, and steps out of bounds.
I don't know if I've ever seen that.
It's just a bizarre situation.
It's fantastic.
Well, you know, for those that follow Twitter, you may have seen this earlier this week, but, you know, there's been a lot of chatter amongst the IU fan base over the past couple weeks. And in the past week, after getting beat down by Michigan and losing to Northwestern, that chatter picked up a little bit.
It did.
A lot of depression out there. And I put a little perspective tweet of statistics out there for you folks that Tom Crean, after last night, his winning percentage this year is like 64%, maybe 65%.
Yeah.
Well, his career winning percentage is only 61%. So this year he's actually doing better than his career average. So the Hoosier fans could be a little bit more celebratory about that. But I don't get the sense that that's what the case is, Chad.
I think that's a sarcastic tweet from old Mr. Evan Beck over there. But I don't know.
I didn't know I had any sarcastic bones in my body. But I don't know. I just think sometimes you got to dig into things a little deeper and realize you're talking about a coach that has a career winning percentage of 61%.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is, folks. He's been there 9 years, doesn't recruit consistently.
Yeah.
His end game. I mean, I'm just talking about what I hear around town and the office from IU fans. You know, a lot of disgruntled fans out there right now.
Well, when you guys had Gillespie. Oh, and UK fans awful. Are smart, too. A detriment to a coach that's at a big-time university that's had success, X's and O's are understood by the folks in the state. Indiana fans, Kentucky fans, they've grown up playing basketball. They know the sport.
Yes.
And when they see things that aren't right, I mean, it just bothers them.
Absolutely.
And then, the performance hasn't been great.
That's exactly right.
So.
And then, so, with that being – tuning into last night's game, and I sent you a message about a lot of empty seats in Simon Hall last night.
There was. Yeah, I've heard
even lower seats right behind the bench.
There was. So I think there's a combination of some disgruntled fans, without question. I did hear some booing a few times during the game.
Yes.
And then a good friend of mine that goes to a lot of IU games did say that the 6:30 local tap in Bloomington is a tough game. So typically, if you remember right, they kick off a lot of those games at 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock local time.
Yep.
But that's still surprising. I have a feeling if IU 17-2 last night, that
packed,
place would
dude.
Be packed and rowdy.
You know how it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
The rabid fan base is going to get there, but
absolutely.
You start losing, and you start losing those seats. You stop filling the seats, I guess.
It's frustrating.
Yeah. It is frustrating. But, I mean, they did win last night. They somehow figured out a way to win.
They did win, and I still – I'm a glass half full guy. But
you guys are 500 in the league now?
5-5, yeah. And I think they're going to go, I guess, 5-3 the rest of the way, 10-8.
That schedule's tough that you got coming up.
It's one of those things that's kind of interesting. If they did pull off the Purdue wins, the Northwestern wins, and the Michigan wins, that's three top 50 wins. All of a sudden, the resume isn't looking that bad, but we'll see. That's a lot to ask for.
Yeah, sure. Folks, again, the phone lines are open. 812-426-7400 or tweet.
At Red Blue Hoops. Let's talk about it.
We have some upcoming discussions in our second segment. Cover a couple of Kentucky games, one of which was the Kansas game this past Saturday. We'll talk about another overtime game this past Tuesday. Kentucky hosted Georgia. And we have a little bit of a UK history lesson to give our UK fans a little perspective that we need to have, I think, at this point in time. Talk about a little revenue discussion today, but the SEC conference doled out $40 million per team. $40 million per school.
Wow!
In revenue sharing, which is $110 million higher than last year, and we still want to call this amateur athletics. Okay, again, this is the SEC network.
Sure.
Profit sharing arrangement. So the SEC as a conference doled out $40.4 million per school today. That's incredible.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's a lot of cash.
Yeah, it is. Folks, we'll be right back after our first break. Red Blue Hoops, 812-426-7400, or tweet.
At Red Blue Hoops.
Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Nicholson, McNamara, Smith & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 812-473-7336.
right, folks, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops. And for our listeners out there on the blues guitar, that's Chad Payton. On bass, we got Berger. On drums, we have Sam. Chad's playing the blues guitar because the Hoosiers are losing so many games this season.
Hey, Kentucky's lost 2 of 3.
Speaking of that.
That's right.
Let's
good
go
segue.
To that. Perfect segue.
That was.
Way to tee it up.
That was.
So as I mentioned before the break, folks, Kentucky hosted number two team Kansas.
That's right.
This past Saturday in Rupp Arena. And I've been going to Kentucky games Rupp Arena since I was a little boy. And I must say this past Saturday was a little bit unique. It was teed up for a perfect, perfect day in regard to the energy and the crowd. It was an all-time record was set in regard to ticket prices.
Wow.
Yeah, tickets on the side and lower were going for $7,000 per ticket. Upper lowers, $1,000 plus per ticket. So that's incredible.
Was Ashley Judd there, by the way?
She was not there, was she, Walker? I don't think that would have been a good timing on her part.
No.
After her.
Just throwing a dig out
yeah,
there.
Exactly.
You know?
But something that was a little bit unique. You know, the Hyatt Regency Hotel is connected to the Rupp Arena facility. It's a little unique, and there's a lot of fan activity in that area before the games. And it was shoulder to shoulder this past Saturday. And again, I've never seen this happen before, but one by one, here comes the Kansas managers off the elevators, walking through this sea of people. And then here comes the players, and here comes Bill Self. I mean, they're putting themselves in harm's way, really, because that crowd is shoulder to shoulder, packed.
Is there security leading them?
None.
Through? Wow.
None. I mean, Bill Self walked out by himself. I mean, I said, hey, Coach Self, how you doing? Hey, how's it going? So that was interesting.
That is interesting.
From my perspective, it's the most visiting fans I've ever seen at Rupp Arena. Kansas traveled extremely well. I mean, they were very well represented. It did not show up on the TV because their colors are so similar
sure.
to ours.
Sure.
You could identify some of them because they have a little bit of a red feature to their uniform
Jayhawk
colors, and a lot of them had red hats on and stuff. But, man, a lot of Kansas fans. I interacted with a lot of them. Super nice people. Everyone got along. It was a peaceful situation both before, during, and after the game.
Mm-hmm.
Walker and I had a lady behind us, Kansas fan, that had a fairly annoying tone of voice, and she cheered from start to finish right in her ear, but no incidents at all.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
That was kind of cool. The pregame was unique. We had Michael Buffer.
I saw that.
Infamous ring announcer.
Yeah.
So they dropped this microphone down out of the ceiling of Rupp Arena like you would in a boxing match, and all of a sudden these 8 spotlights illuminate each of the national championship trophies that are wrapped around center court.
It's pretty sick.
And Buffer introduces each UK player, and it was a special, special setting, a special experience for sure. Guinness Book of World Records was there. We set an all-time new record for arena noise recorded.
The decibel level,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, I will tell you that the games I've been to, the previous most loud I've ever heard Rupp Arena was when we beat Louisville in the mid-80s. Cedric Jenkins tipped in a shot to win the game at the buzzer. And that's the loudest I've ever heard Rupp the other day. It was so loud, it was hurting my ears.
Wow.
It was crazy. So that's kind of neat. But
that is neat.
Let's get to the real thing, the game.
Uh-oh.
We come out up 12, playing well. And Kansas didn't panic at all. They're mature. They have
Those two guards.
They're
Frank Mason,
yeah,
and Graham.
Senior guards.
Yeah.
Even without two of their inside guys, they steadied the course. They stuck to their game plan. And Kentucky started to get a little bit more individualized as the game went along. And that led to a rash of turnovers. And there's two types of turnovers. I mean, all turnovers are bad. But you have turnovers that you can defend, or you have what they call touchdown turnovers.
Right.
And we gave up several touchdown turnovers. I think we had gotten down in the second half by 9 or 10. We came back to lead by 1. And then we had 3 consecutive turnovers that led to 7 consecutive points. And at that point, it's like we couldn't dig out of that hole.
I was at a bar watching that game, and I thought the key to that game was Kansas cutting that lead at halftime by, I think it was a 3
went
or
5
12 point.
To 5.
Yeah,
That was
huge.
We had them down by 12 twice, and they closed the gap at half to 5. You're exactly right, which is exactly what happened to us against UCLA in Rupp Arena, up 12, 5 at half. So the turnovers were just absolutely awful. Again, led to 21 Kansas points.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, our passing was some of the worst passing I've seen the entire season. Here we are in late January. So that's a concerning data point for UK fans is, you know, the poor passing by our guards. Bam, they went to him early, and it seemed to not be a focus as the game went along. Again, we became a little bit more individualized in how we were playing. We struggled with free throws substantially.
Yep.
And, you know, against a great team, you can't do that and win. And so there's four areas that Kentucky typically dominates that we got beat in statistically against Kansas. Kansas outperformed us points in the paint. They outperformed us with second chance points. They outperformed us points off turnovers, and also they outperformed us in transition points.
And which so, is, I mean,
yeah, that's our bell cow.
That's right.
So we end up losing by six at home. It was awful. So at that point, Walker and I are 0-2 in Rupp Arena this season. I don't know what to do.
You might not want to go back.
Well, that's what some people were saying.
Might like, have to blame you personally.
Like we were banned from Rupp Arena.
Yeah.
So now one bright spot, Derek Willis played really well. He had 18 points, and he kind of offset the great play of that freshman Josh Jackson for Kansas.
Nice player.
Great player.
Yeah.
Played really, really well. One thing that Bill Self implemented, he used three different defenses against us, man, straight-up zone, and then a 3-2. I'm sorry, no. Triangle and two.
Yeah,
he did a triangle and two.
Yeah.
And we figured out their 2-3 with Briscoe penetrating the middle, but then they went to that triangle and two, and it kind of handcuffed us for a while. So that led to, again, we talked about it on the show earlier this season, Cal hates to play zone.
Mm-hmm.
Cal zone, get it?
Cal, nice.
Cal zone?
Yeah.
Berger loves Cal zone.
That sounds pretty good.
But so the fans were just chirping, man, chirping, because we cannot stop penetration drives this year. Well, guess what? This past game against Georgia, zone. Played some zone against Georgia.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, so, normally, again, his teams are man-to-man,
yeah,
in-face, defend.
Yeah. So with that being said, we still have some injuries and sicknesses. The Georgia game this past Tuesday night ended up going back. I just had to break this losing streak.
Exactly.
We're favored by 16.5 in Vegas against Georgia, but we were without our point guard. De'Aaron Fox is out with an illness. We were still without our backup shooting guard, Michael Mulder, who's a senior. Also out was Sasha Kalea-Jones. He doesn't play that much, but still. And then Bam got in foul trouble immediately.
Mm-hmm.
We had 5 points at the 10-minute mark first half. Awful.
Yeah, the game was like 14-2 to start.
It was absolutely the worst Kentucky basketball I've seen since Cal Perry's NIT team after Nerlens got hurt.
Right.
Terrible basketball. But to their credit, foul trouble, young, kids out. They fought back. They got a 9-point lead. They gave it up. Georgia takes us to overtime. And we had to hit a heroic shot to go to overtime. I thought we were beat.
Really?
Yeah, we're down two.
I did not
see
that.
We're down two with 10.6 seconds left. Inbounds. We're getting an inbounds the ball. Bill Self calls timeout. All right? And in that setup, Chad, we were in our traditional inbounds set.
Right.
Which is going to inbounds to Bam.
Right.
So after the timeout, Cal Perry switches it up. So this is to all the in-game coaching questions he gets, right?
The X's
so
and O's.
Bill Self is one that calls the timeout. Cal comes back with a different play. Bam sets the screen. Monk gets the ball. Open baseline jumper. Hits it. It goes in.
Yeah, you're talking Georgia. You're talking about the Georgia game, right?
Yeah, Georgia.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, yeah.
No, yeah, you're –
Mark
no, we
Fox,
got it.
Intern
Mark
Walker.
Fox.
I'm sorry. Mark Fox is the
He's
Georgia coach.
He's making his money tonight right there.
Good job,
Fact
intern.
Checking.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I'm sorry. Mark Fox, Georgia coach, called the timeout.
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah.
So Monk gets the ball, hits a beautiful baseline jumper, ties the game up. But Georgia got a good look to win. They almost won in regulation.
That game kind of mirrored the Penn State-Indiana game in a way.
It did.
IU had to hit a couple free throws on one to push to overtime.
But during that game, we went from down 14 to up 9, so that's a 25-point swing. But then we gave up that lead late. Again, young team, not knowing how to close.
Mm-hmm.
But let me talk about Malik Monk, folks. He had 6 points at halftime. And my guest that night was one of your brethren, a rabid IU fan.
Oh, yeah.
Zach Martin was at the game at Rupp Arena with me the other night. He's a student. He calls himself a student of college basketball. He wanted to go over there and check
that's
it
fair.
Out.
Yeah.
And at halftime, he said, Monk will have 25 points in the second half.
Pretty dang close, wasn't it?
31.
Yeah. Wow.
He hit 5 straight threes. He went nuts.
He's a monster like that.
He went nuts. The cool one other thing, that was Brent Musburger, his last game to call as
yeah.
a sports announcer.
Yeah.
And I give credit to the Kentucky staff. They did a not the coaching staff, but the university staff. They did a great job recognizing him, I think, three different times during the game. They have the ceremonial. Someone comes out and does the Y when they spell Kentucky. It's a big deal. He did that.
Okay.
Gave him a number 50 jersey for his 50 years of commentating. And it was just a really cool scene for him. And he wanted to make that his last game because he was there calling the 85 championship game when Villanova upset Georgetown.
Oh, he's at Rupp.
Yeah.
Nice.
So pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So that was our two games over the past week. One heartbreaking loss to Kansas. And one nail biter against Georgia. And I tell you what, folks, we're just not playing good basketball right now. I hope we can get healthy and kick the illness and go on.
But it's not, you're not sitting on a three game losing streak right now, and that's
something.
You know,
I really thought that I was going to go 0-3 this year and Rupp. So we have a tweet here, Chad.
All right,
this is Emily Gear. What can UK do to pull out the win at Florida on Saturday? Well,
great. Is that at Florida?
It is.
Uh-oh.
And I failed to mention College Game Day. ESPN was at the Kentucky-Kansas game this past Saturday. Guess what? Game Day is at Florida this Saturday.
Back again. That's right. I did see that.
For me to answer that question thoroughly, I have to know the status of De'Aaron Fox. If he plays, I think our guards have to control the ball better. I mean, just limit your turnovers a little bit more and play a little bit more mature. That's asking a lot on the road.
That's going to be a tough game. Curious on the line on that.
That's exactly what I was going to ask. Does anybody know the line on the Florida-UK game? It may not be published
yet. It's probably not out yet.
So, but thanks for that tweet. Our phone lines are open, 812-426-7400. Speaking of that, we have Wayne on the Red Blue Hoops hotline. Wayne, go ahead.
Row, I think.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, Wayne?
I'm just feeding my face with a little pizza at Rocker Bar, man, so I'm giving a little advertisement to Rocker Bar. How's that?
That's good. Fair enough.
Save some from us.
Yeah.
Hey, I just want to ask Chad a question. You guys both kind of looked this up. When is the last time that IU has given up 100 points or better in a Big Ten game?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I will have to look that up. But keep in mind, perspective here, bro. It's three overtimes. Regulation was 72 up.
Yeah, well, you know what? Problem of it is that we almost gave it up. I mean, in every overtime.
I know.
I mean, so
we almost gave it up at the end. I mean,
well, you guys, I think again, number 11 for Penn State. He's either an 81 or 83% free throw shooter.
DJ Stevens, I think was his name, maybe or Carr. Or...
It wasn't Carr, but this kid missed in regulation and in one overtime a second free throw. He barely got to the rim. That would have sealed the game for Penn State.
Yes,
times.
Yes. So that was a weird game.
You're exactly right. And, you know, the thing about it is that, I mean, we had three players that scored pretty much, you know, I think it's about 85
points. 85 of that 110, yeah.
You know, and one of those guys hardly gets over about 7 points a game. As I said last night, Chad, in one of my tweets, you know, I wonder, if a player could actually – that, you know, transfer to another school. If the school doesn't like him, do we actually just automatically have him transfer back?
What's that rule called? Were you going to create a name for that?
It's called
we call it the Josh Newkirk rule.
That's pretty nice. I did see that tweet last night.
You guys are rough on old Newkirky, aren't you?
We are. He's deserving. I mean, he
played all Big Ten last night.
He did. Only Indiana.
Night, I mean, he was definitely big time, so. Hey, you guys have a good time. Good talking to you. Have fun.
Wayne, thanks for calling in. See you, man. Bye.
Again, phone lines 812-426-7400 or tweet.
At Red Blue Hoops. I'm going to say one quick thing here.
Bring it on.
So we were talking about Crean being on the hot seat, right? You're starting to hear that a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
So what I'm curious about from the fans and the callers – let's call in and let's talk about some options. I'm curious on where we would want the IU direction there, where we'd go.
Your dream coach is Brad Stevens, but he's currently a 2 seed in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, they're good.
And he loves it.
Yeah, he
supposedly.
So just a quick list from me. I have Brad Stevens.
Oh, hold on.
We got breaking news. Ooh. We do have breaking news.
This is Chad Payton's short list. I want to hear this.
Oh, this is okay. My short list.
This is breaking news.
So I was talking. I guess my pipe dream is what I've been told is Brad Stevens. So we'll say I'm always going to have Brad first, but we'll keep him out of the mix. So then, secondly, Tony Bennett.
All right.
From Virginia.
All right.
Greg Marshall from Wichita State.
Yep.
And I've been sold on this one. I don't know about it, but I'll throw it in there. Chris Collins, Northwestern.
Ah, interconference.
Interconference, huh? And Northwestern's never made the tournament. He's recruiting. He's doing some things there. So that's my short list.
Well, that's interesting, folks. We're going to discuss that a little bit further when we come back after our last break. Red Blue Hoops, go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Nicholson, McNamara, Smith & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 812-473-7336.
Wow. Chad, you're getting so good at that blues guitar, bro.
I might win I don't know what the award is for a performance.
What is that burger for public radio
blues Emmy guitar? It's not an Emmy or Oscar or anything like that. It's a
Sam, what's a typical award name for public radio?
Steve's saying it's the Inskeep.
Say that again. That sounds like a foreign language.
The Inskeep.
Okay, we're going for Inskeeps.
Or I was going to say a gift card from O'Charlie's, but I am.
Folks, real quick, it's our 1987 30-year anniversary, Indiana's last national championship segment of the show as we celebrate Indiana's last banner. Top 20 movies, folks. We're going to number 12, Predator.
Oh!
Starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'll be back.
That's a great movie. Great movie.
The next one, folks, Dirty Dancing. Patrick Swayze and Gray, what was her name?
I can't think
Jennifer
of her name.
Gray?
That's it, I think.
Yeah,
nobody
had a nose
baby
job.
In a
she didn't look the same. She had a big nose. She had a nose job.
Yeah.
Dirty Dancing and Predator going to the top 20 song list. Coming in at number 12, this is on Chad's phone as a ringtone. It's Everybody Have Fun Tonight by Wang Chung.
That's right. That's a pretty good one.
That's what
one.
We're doing here at WNIN down here on the third floor in the studio.
Every Thursday, baby.
Everybody have... Oh. Number 11 was La Bamba by Los...
La, 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 la Bamba. Yeah, so that's a good one.
How about that, Burger? You like that stuff? You remember those songs? Oh, yeah.
Those are a couple good tunes and a couple good movies there.
All right, Kentucky fans, let's have a little perspective discussion here. We've been talking on the show all season about our defense, and I'm a big fan of KenPom, and currently right now Kentucky's defense is ranked 18th in the nation on KenPom.
That's surprising.
Big time surprise. Yeah. I know what I see with my eyes.
Right.
We're not good defensively.
Right.
So did a little research for all the Kentucky fans and IU fans for that matter. Calipari's tenure at UK, the way his teams have ranked nationally in regard to 2-point field goal percentage defense. 2010, John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins teams came in at number 6.
Yes.
2011, Brandon Knight, Final Four team, came in at number 8. 2012, Anthony Davis, national championship team, came in at number 1. 2013, the NIT team, number 8.
Wow.
That's because they had Nerlens back
blocked
there.
Blocked a lot of shots still. And
2014, we started 5 freshmen that year. Let's remember that. We started 5 freshmen and went to the championship game. Our defense was ranked 49th in the nation that year. But obviously, we got better late.
Yes.
I mean, much better late.
Yes.
2015, our 38-1 squad that lost to Wisconsin in the Final Four in Indianapolis, they were ranked number 2 in 2-point field goal percentage defense. 2016, last year, that got beat by who in the tournament? Indiana.
The Hoosiers.
Kentucky was ranked 11th. Now, here you go, folks. Listen to this. This year, we are ranked 118th.
Wow.
118th in the nation. Calipari has to be absolutely sick at his stomach over that because he prides himself with defense.
He does.
He had individual meetings this week and asked each player one-on-one, can you be a stopper? He said 6 people said yes.
Wow.
He said, well, then why aren't you showing me something then?
Yeah.
Let's get after it. But anyway, a little perspective. And then also, after the Kansas loss, and you're hanging around the Hyatt, downtown Lexington, you're listening to all the fans, their comments, and it happens every year if we lose a couple of games, you start hearing some chatter about Cal Perry is not a good game coach. Or Kentucky fans start chatting about, I'm just tired of the one and done. I'm just tired of it. We need more experience. Need more experience. Yada, yada, yada. So it made me sit back and think because, as you know, I've tried to retrain myself as a Kentucky fan to be more patient with these Cal Perry teams because they are so young. And he's proven to be a coach that can improve his team as they head into March. So the entire history of the Kentucky program, folks, we have won 8 national titles.
Yes.
Our first one was 1948. So in 70 years, we've won 8 national titles.
That's not bad.
Just barely over one per decade. All right. We've been to 17 Final Fours, our first of which was in 1942. So since 1942, Kentucky has been to 16 Final Fours. Coach Cal Perry has accounted for 25% of those appearances in only 7 years.
Absolutely.
So the UK fan base needs to take a deep breath, step a little bit back away from the ledge, chill out and relax, and let's see what happens.
What's his winning percentage at Kentucky? 82%.
So, again, I'm as hard on him as anybody, but I've tried to train myself to be more patient. It's difficult when you're watching your supposed All-American guards throw the ball straight to a Kansas jersey for a layup. But
yeah.
And, again, he's been to 4 Final Fours in 7 seasons at UK with a new roster every year. And our average margin of defeat in our 4 losses this year is only 4 points.
Yeah.
So we're competitive in every loss.
Yeah.
So anyway, just a little perspective there. And also, I did make a note. We are a program. We do not count our Helms trophies as national titles like some programs in the country.
What is this?
Okay. If you go back into the history of college basketball, they used to award what's called the Helms, H-E-L-M-S,
okay,
trophy.
Okay.
And I guess it was considered like the best team in the country. And some programs, Kansas, recognizes those as their national championships.
No kidding.
Kentucky does not. We have 2 that we do not include in our 8 Helms trophies. Go back and look it up.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, folks, if you want to give us a call, the phone lines are open, 812-426-7400, or tweet
at RedBlueHoops. Hey, a little perspective.
I love perspective.
Like opponents this year, Evan. Oh. What is your record?
Okay, let's go. Let's review this. We've both played Kansas.
We beat them, yeah.
You won, we lost.
Yeah.
We've both played Michigan State.
We beat them.
We killed them.
You did.
We both played North Carolina.
Oh, we beat them.
We beat them.
Yeah.
We both played Louisville.
Lost to them.
So that makes us 2-2.
3-1. So wow. Is it, what property is that? The transitive property or whatever that was as a so-and-so, like you start doing all these opponents. And so we beat you guys, I think, right?
So you're better than Kentucky.
We are. I'm going to call that.
Well, you know, that's a great segue. That's a great segue to the RBH index, folks, that we update every week. Currently, Indiana comes in at 43. All right. Again, this.
That's down.
It is down. This represents your 4 collective, the average of the statistical rankings, KenPom, RPI, BPI, and Sagarin. Kentucky continues to drop. We've gone from 2.5 down to 5.5. We're trending downward.
Wow.
Indiana currently comes in with a 16th ranked offense, 142nd ranked defense.
Well, and I'd be curious on the 2-point stat you did for Kentucky.
Yes.
I need to look that up for Indiana. It wouldn't shock me if that thing's in the 200s.
Could be.
Yeah.
Kentucky offense coming in at number 4. Defense, again, number 18, I'll say that's possible. I love talking about strength of schedules. Indiana's strength of schedule in KenPom is 68. Mm-hmm. Kentucky's 24.
Yeah.
Your non-conference strength of schedule is currently anchoring down at 307.
Yeah, I think there's only 351 Division I teams, so that's pretty interesting.
Kentucky's floating in at 59. Bracketology update, since we're rolling on stats, Kentucky is still sitting in a 2 seed in the South region. Indiana has dropped to a 9 seed in the Midwest. You were in the West, so you're closer to home.
Yeah.
So maybe some of your fickle fans will go watch the Hoosiers in the Midwest bracket.
That's possible.
Huh.
I'm still believing. I'm going to believe.
Still believing.
Yeah. Don't Stop Believing. That's a song, isn't it?
By Journey.
That's right.
Hey,
that's a good one. Yeah.
We were going to talk a little bit about...
Oh.
Sorry, folks. That's our.
We got some more breaking news.
That's
actually
our breaking news. So Chad, we gave an assignment to Sam.
Yes, we did.
And Berger.
We did.
But they haven't produced anything on this mysterious story about the missing statues in Bloomington. So I understand that you've developed an update for us.
I have. So I'm sitting with my boss, Eric Palmer. I'm giving him a shout out tonight.
And he's Mr. Palmer.
Mr. Palmer, yeah. And he's listened to the show now for a few weeks, and we're just sitting there chatting yesterday. He goes, oh, yeah, that fountain you're talking about. Yeah, I'm an IU grad. It's the Showalter Fountain. I'm like, hey, I needed information on that. So I did Google that, and the Showalter Fountain had these bronze fish statues in there. And two of them did get stolen, like I was talking about earlier on in the year.
And this happened 30 years ago.
At 1987.
Okay.
Only one of them has been returned. Like, the story matches up now. So until that last one or that other one comes back, IU will not win a national title. That's all it takes. It's that statue.
So, again,
the Showalter
Chad stepped up and filled in for Berger and Sam getting this job done. That was excellent research.
Yeah. Had some connections on that.
Thanks, Mr. Palmer, for that.
Mr. Palmer, huge.
So, to our Indiana fans out there, if we have anyone that has connections in Bloomington, can we get a picture sent in on Twitter of what these bronze fish statues look like in the Showalter?
I got an idea.
Yeah.
We could make a sign that says, return the fish. Tom Crean would appreciate that.
Fish.
You know, call out for ball screens or return the fish. I don't know. What do you think about that? You saw
like,
that, right?
I like, man, those signs. What's that all about? He said
that's
he did
about
those.
Ridiculousness is what that is. Berger's on it,
for
man.
For our listeners, Berger just drew an IU fish back there. what are we talking about? Just for,
the signs.
Oh, the signs.
Yeah.
So I saw
ridiculousness.
I guess Crean got defensive about it. Did you hear about that?
Of course he did. What would you do?
He said he did it for Izzo, and it was considered a genius move, and he does it, and everybody makes fun of him.
So listen, I did that in third and fourth grade girls basketball, and I also ran a play called Cookie Dough, too. Do you think that Cookie Dough play
cookie
could
dough.
Work? I don't know,
I
man.
I think I heard that in Bloomington the second overtime last night.
Called it Cookie Dough. Get the ball to Bryant. I don't know. Whatever.
Who was the kid? Was it Green that got caught in the lane and turned and threw it to the left wing, and it went straight to the guys on the bench? Was that Green?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I don't remember.
Oh,
that
yeah.
One.
Just zipped it.
They were open. You know, I guess.
They were.
Yeah,
they were open.
Whatever.
So, wow. It's already
again, always
late.
Flying
here,
by here.
Real quick, your upcoming games, Chad.
Yeah, so we play at Wisconsin on Sunday, and I always count that as a loss. I don't care how good we're playing.
What time Sunday?
12 o'clock, CBS.
Okay,
tip.
So it's like a pre-tuner for the Super Bowl.
It is. Good point.
Yeah.
Pre-tuner. And then next Thursday, so that's a 6 o'clock tip. I'll be on the show. I'll be nervous, but
we'll watch it. We'll watch it online here.
That's right. Purdue. So Purdue at home. So it gives us a little bit. So my take is if Blackman is hurt still, do not play him for the Wisconsin game. Let him sit that one out too and be ready to go for Purdue. Because if we lose to Wisconsin or when we lose, we're going to have to come back and beat Purdue and Michigan at home. What Purdue's Thursday and Michigan is next Sunday. So
that's a tough schedule.
That's three top 50 teams right there.
I do remember Bardo mentioning your schedule last night during the telecast, and I didn't have it in front of me. I was wondering who was coming up. So at Wisconsin and then hosting Purdue. So you don't know if Blackman's playing yet, right?
Don't know. His dad said he would miss a couple of games, but he was doing better. So he has already missed two games.
Did they ever say what the injury was, or did IU keep it
in classic
up?
IU fashion?
No
they
discussion
did not,
whatsoever.
No discussion on that. So
well, I hope the kick. I hate.
Yeah, hey, yeah.
Injured.
He's had a tough road. So
yep. Maybe he's. I tell you what, there could be a positive in this. It just hit me. Maybe he's lurking. Maybe he's working on his left hand.
That's a good point. Maybe he is. Who knows?
That boy needs to develop a
he
left
does.
Hand.
He does. So
Kentucky.
Who do you guys have?
Kentucky. Who do we have? I mentioned earlier we're
got
going
Florida,
to
right?
Florida. The game is set to tip 7:15 Central. Again, college game day, 2 weeks in a row for the Wildcats. I think the Vegas odds will have us as a dog in that game.
You think?
What do you think?
Okay, Walker, to give Walker credit,
yep.
He called the line last week, the Kentucky-Kansas line, which I'm still surprised by that, but nice work. So you're going to say the Florida game's what?
3.5.
Kentucky,
a dog.
Dogs, okay.
Kentucky being a dog.
Okay.
So check this out. You know, Walker plays in that Chandler Youth Basketball League, and somehow I got coached into coaching. It's a lot of fun. So he tips off at 6. We finish up, come in, sit down, watch the Cats versus the Gators Saturday night. And then next Tuesday, we host the cellar dweller of the SEC conference, the LSU Tigers.
Team is awful.
Terrible. And they got that kid, that high-level recruit last year, Antonio Blakeney.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to be scratching his head.
Did you see the game they played last week? They were on one end, and they were on the opponent's end, and one of the opponents on the bench put their hands up like they were open for a pass, and the guy threw it across there to him.
No way.
I swear.
It's hilarious.
He was open again, but that wasn't going to – didn't work.
Chad, what about the Evansville Aces, brother?
Yes. So
– a trail of tears this season.
It is. So they lost to Illinois State last
Sunday.
Sam's
crying back there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry, Sam. Lost Illinois State. Illinois State's probably an NCAA tourney team. They lost by 10 at the Ford Center. And then last night lost at Indiana State, 85-84. Unfortunately for Coach Simmons, that's 9 straight losses. So that's a tough run there. Missouri State this Saturday at the Ford Center. If you can get out to help the Aces out, they need to pull a W out. And then Wednesday against Loyola at the Ford Center. So maybe they could come back with a couple there.
All right, there's the Aces update for your USI Screaming Eagles. They took an unfortunate loss this past Sunday at University of Indianapolis. They were held to only 66 points, which is well below their season average. That was after they may have been tired. They had a triple overtime game last Thursday.
That's right.
So they are playing at the Pack here in Evansville tonight, hosting Missouri Science and Technical something or another. And then they host Drury this Saturday at 3:15. So get out and support your Screaming Eagles at home tonight and Saturday. Chad, this has been an absolutely great,
always
great fun.
Always a pleasure.
Our Hall of Fame caller Shooter called in again tonight. That guy's amazing.
Might have to start calling you Billy, and you can call me Mike,
I guess.
That's
hilarious. But we want to thank everyone for the support of Red Blue Hoops. We'll be back here next Thursday. Thanks to Berger and Sam and Walker. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Nicholson, McNamara, Smith & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors. Dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 812-473-7336. Red Blue Hoops is a production of WNIN Tri-State Public Media. The executive producer is Brad Kimmel. Steve Berger is the producer. The technical director is Samantha Horton. The opinions in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of WNIN staff or board of directors, or, for that matter, Purdue fans, Evansville fans, USI fans, Louisville fans, and certainly not Duke fans.